Hello, friends. You are listening to 101.9 CITR Community Radio, broadcasting live from UBC's Point Grey campus, situated on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Musqueam people. At CITR, we endeavor to create and uplift local alternative arts and culture, and we are forever grateful for the privilege to do so on this land. This is Amateur Hour. Thank you for joining us. On Amateur Hour, we sit down with local amateur and student musicians to talk about the music they make and the music they love. My name is Ewan, and in the studio with me today is Jack Patrick of Goat String Orchestra. Say hello, Jack.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So I just want to, before we jump into some of the music that you've brought here today, ask you a little bit about, where did Goat String Orchestra start? Tell us a little bit about this project.
Yeah, for sure. So Goat String Orchestra has been around for a couple years now. Just started out with me and a fiddle player. It goes by Jody Charles. You may know him as Josh. And then we slowly introduced people. Henry, the bass player, I ran into him at the climbing gym. I was like, hey, you want to play bass in the band? He's like, yeah. Drummer that I met at Cry Club, UBC Cry Club, has been a big bonding factor for a lot of the members in the band. My love to Kirk, who started Cry Club. So a lot of us sort of met there. Drummer Nick. And then it's just evolved. The big thing with Goat String Orchestra is a lot of fiddle players. So there's a huge group of fiddle players that sort of rotates whenever they can make shows. A couple core fiddle players now. So I'd say that the group is six people now, which is myself, Nora, who's a singer and guitar player. We have a new drummer named Audrey. Ian and Fiona are two like stand-up fiddle players. Like they always show up to gigs, and then Henry is still playing bass. So Jody comes and plays harmonica usually with us, but doesn't play fiddle anymore. So myself and Henry have been like the two long members, and everyone else is kind of cycled through.
All right. Well, awesome. I'm going to play one of the songs that you've brought in here today, just so listeners can get a feel for the kind of music that we'll be talking about. So we're going to start with Barking Dog, I believe.
Yes.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Barking Dog from the Goat String Orchestra.
ever made. Well, poppin' is gone now. Oh, sell me everlasting mercy and leave me alone. This damn rockin' horse keeps teetering on now. Oh, oh, the edge of my religion. What lies beyond?
All right, and we are back. That was Barking Dog by the Goat String Orchestra. Jack, tell us a little bit about the song.
Yeah, so this is a song I wrote quite a few years back before the Goat String Orchestra was even a thing. Yeah, it's just, I think the melody came to me while I was working at a pet mortuary, so cremating dogs. So wow. Yeah, Barking Dog. Yeah, all right.
That would do it. Jeez.
But yeah, it's sort of evolved. The keys changed a few times. The fiddles really served the tune. Mm-hmm. The two fiddle players playing on that recording, Kat DeMello and Isaac Z, are both incredibly talented. Kat, she is currently studying music here and is also a really wicked DJ. And Isaac is a composer. He does like composition for TV shows and things. Just super grateful to have such amazing players on there. And that's the original Goat String outfit with myself, Henry on bass, Nick on drums, and then the two fiddle players. I'm trying to think if I'm forgetting anyone for this, but I think that's everybody who was on that particular recording.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that because Goat String Orchestra is a really interesting group in that it seems like there's been a lot of like change and turnover in the years, and it's such a kind of large ensemble. So last week we were talking to Alex Kronzai of Nine Narrows and Animal Hospital, both which are either kind of small set bands or just him for the most part. Mm-hmm. Goat String Orchestra is obviously a very kind of different outfit than that, and I wanted to ask you, like, what is it like making music in that like kind of hyper collaborative space with like all these people coming and going?
Yeah. Before I answer that question, I did just remember Daniel Blackie was sure. Also playing mandolin on that record. But yeah, it's interesting to try and coordinate that large of a group of people. Mm-hmm. I think it's good to have a core group, especially like rhythm section, drums and bass, which is always like, dependable. Like in terms of the dynamic of like how that usually gels together, like it's all my music.
Sure.
So as long as it's myself and like a good number of the people there on practices, it's kind of easy to coordinate. Yeah. Like everyone learns the tunes, and then if people don't make it to one practice, they make it to the next one. I think it can be a bit excessive sometimes. Like we've had 9 people on stage at a time, which I mean, it's super fun, mm-hmm. but logistically it's difficult when you're, especially when you're at this level and you know, everyone has other things that they're doing. This music is not, at least this music mm-hmm. is not anyone's full-time thing. I think Isaac is probably the most professional musician who's ever been involved in the outfit, but, it's good to have lots of people for like just a performance perspective, but yeah, it can be a bit logistically challenging for sure.
Yeah, and you mentioned like that it's your music, like you write these songs yourself, and like that's, so how does that process kind of work of like you're the kind of lead writer, but then you have so many different people playing all these different instruments. Are they adding any of their own kind of flair to things or?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, talk about that process a bit.
Yeah, so like for the first part of the question, like for writing tunes, most of these, well, all of these songs start with just me and acoustic guitar. Mm. And I kind of flesh out the harmony usually first, and then vocals come after. That's almost always how it works out for me for writing songs. And then I'll bring the tune to the band. And they're all incredibly talented musicians. And, you know, I'll let them know, you know, like, well, this is kind of like the melody that I'm thinking here. But, you know, I'm not a particularly musically educated person. I don't read music, so I can't notate things for them.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone who plays in the band has an incredible ear. And so people can kind of pick up on what's needed in certain areas, and we experiment. And then eventually the songs get to where they are. It's kind of a trial by error process.
Sure.
You know, certain things work, certain things don't, and we kind of flesh it out as a band. I mean, I have a certain vision of what I want the tune to look like, but I'm not dictating to anybody like this is what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
I trust everybody who comes into the band with their abilities and their ears, and they often know better than me what their particular instrument can bring to this tune.
Yeah.
So that's usually what ends up happening.
I mean, it's such a like cool kind of collaborative way of going about music writing. Again, last week we had talked about like the difference between when you're the solo artist kind of dealing with all the guitar, drum, rhythm, bass line, vocals, and just the basic melody versus when you're in a group where everyone's kind of playing their own instrument. So even more so in this kind of case where you do have these kind of larger collective people and everyone's kind of doing a bit of their own thing. It creates a really interesting sound. And I think that comes through, especially on a tune like Barking Dog, where you have like so many different layers of instruments going on. So like, where does that sound kind of come from? Like, how do you draw inspiration for these songs? Cause it's not a sound that I've personally heard, too much in this specific way. It feels like it's kind of bringing a few things together.
I've been through a bit of like a journey in terms of like what music I'm trying to make and like what I gravitate towards.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is sort of just like a gestalt, I guess, of like all of that together. So there's a lot of folk influence.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy bluegrass music. You know, I'm not a bluegrass musician. I've learned that from being around bluegrass musicians. Jody or Josh, the first fiddle player, is a diehard bluegrass person. And that's a very particular genre with very traditional rules and ways of playing things. And we're not that. But we take inspiration from that for sure.
Yeah.
For my vocal style, especially in the last like half year, I've become very influenced by like rockabilly vocalists.
Yeah, very much so.
I'm definitely leaning towards that. And we'll talk a bit more about that with the two songs that you asked me to bring.
Sure.
I'm very interested in just like rock music, like classic rock music. The Doors was the first band that I got really big into. I love The Doors to death. Tame Impala.
Yeah, we're talking about that just now.
Yeah. You know, learning that Kevin Parker, the one person, was making all this music, when I found that out, it was just, you know, sort of a revelation to me, like, oh, I can do all of this. And that was what really got me into writing songs, wanting to write songs. Like, wow, this is amazing that one person can do this. I went from psychedelic rock. I got really into jazz music, really into folk and bluegrass music. And so this is sort of a blend of all those things, trying to make it tasteful, trying not to like have it be too ambiguous. You know, it's definitely like a folkier sound. So that's sort of what we settled on. The fiddles really do that.
Yes. That comes through pretty strong. With this sound and like this kind of, like big collaborative space you've got going on here. I know you guys played a lot of live shows, here in the city. Hope to see some more soon. I was just wondering, like, you know, a lot of the people we have on here are performing musicians, and I wanted to know, like, if there's any moment in your performance history, especially with this collaborative group space, that really sticks out to you. Any kind of stories?
Stories, yeah. Well, I mean, the performances that have stuck out, like, in terms of memorability, like, we really enjoyed playing at Catalano Street Fest. That was a really fun one. We were grateful to be a part of that. But just in terms of sheer humor or entertainment value, in terms of stories, I had a moment, like it was our second gig, I think, as a band. We were playing at then 648 Kingsway, still at 648 Kingsway, but now it's called Take Your Time Back. We were just about to go on. You know, this was the biggest group of people that I'd ever played in front of. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm a little nervous. And I plug my guitar in, and there's no sound coming out. And I realized that my batteries had died on my pickup of my guitar, and I'm just like, oh no, I'm panicking. Luckily, this wonderful man was at the show. His name is Steve. Steve is I think he's a high school teacher. I'm not sure which grade he teaches, actually, but he's a huge supporter of the local music scene, and he comes and does video of lots of local artists, open mics. He also has a band of his own. But he was there, and he realized quickly what was happening, and he's like, don't worry, I have a guitar in my car. And so I run with his girlfriend to his car, grab his guitar, run back. Everyone's just waiting. We're supposed to have gone on by now. And it was a beautiful guitar covered in signatures. So I played that gig on his guitar, and he saved the day. But that was very memorable. It taught me a lot about what can go wrong, and then gave me a lot of gratitude for the people around who, you know, saved the day.
Yeah, it's incredible. All right. Well, we've got another song from Goat String Orchestra's play. I believe this is an unreleased song.
Yes.
Do you have anything you want to say about that before we throw that on?
Yeah. So this song is called Devil's Lake. The name comes from my family lake cabin back in Alberta. We recorded these the beginning of this year with our producer, Rain, who's now in Montreal. We're thinking of releasing this along with another tune on April 12th. At least that's what I have it on, the distributor. So we'll see if it comes out in time. I really enjoyed writing this song and fleshing it out with everybody. And I think it's our best song yet, personally, recorded. Yeah.
All right, great. Well, we're going to give a listen to Devil's Lake by Goat String Orchestra. And then after that, we're going to listen to a few more songs that I've selected here, a couple of ads. And then we'll be back for another interview with Jack here. We're going to talk a little bit about music in the role that it plays in Jack's life here, as well as an artist that he's brought on the show to listen to by the name of Charlie Feathers. So stay tuned for that. And for now, here is Devil's Lake.
If I'll ever live to see the days that I remember when I was a dreaming child in heaven back before the demon controlled the weather now and rains machines, and I am tethered to the clock. Oh, someone cut me down. I am tethered to the clock. Someone cut me down. Devil's Lake's been leaking out into the ground where we've been drinking out of Starry Crown. The water seeps in, get behind me, Satan. Quit your preaching, covering up the sun. And I am tethered to the clock. Someone cut me. I am tethered to the clock. Someone cut me down. Thank you.
a dream man, child in heaven, back before the day. My control the weather, now it rains machines, and I am tethered to the clock. Oh, I hope someone could me down.
Young Agrarians is the largest educational resource network for new and young ecological farmers in Canada, with a long-term goal to stop farm loss and ensure future generations can farm. YA offers farmer-to-farmer programming to grow the next generation of food growers by creating access to community, education, on-farm training, land, business mentorship, and other resources. Join our network by checking out youngagrarians.org. That's YOUNGAGRARIANS.ORG. Together, let's grow the next generation of viable and ecological farmers on Turtle Island.
Is the simple joy of riding a bike missing from your life? No worries. Ride On Bike Shop has got you covered. Ride On has the best deals in town for new and used bikes, top-notch servicing, and all the parts or accessories you've been dreaming about. Whether you've got a little one who needs to learn how to ride, or if you're about to go on the Tour de France, Ride On is the place for you. We'll also happily pick up your old bikes and recycle them back into the community. Located on 2255 West Broadway, we are open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. from Tuesday to Saturday. That's RIDEON Bike Shop. See you there.
I finally cried about it last night. My heart feeling like a stone. You flicked your wrist and let go. You know I tried believing in time. That sink down, let the vow surround you.
What you wanted is coming true. What you wanted is coming true. What you wanted is coming true. I wanted to.
This could be. me, it ain't working. So take a minute, admit it, let's commit to it. It's a decision, and we get used to it. Cause we grow apart, we fall apart.
What a beautiful day.
Yeah. Are you hungry?
I think I'm hungry. I think we should get ourselves something nice for our beach day.
Oh yeah?
Oh my god, I know the perfect place. Cockney King's Fish and Chips is literally just around the corner. We should go there. It is the best fish and chips in Vancouver.
Oh my god, yes, absolutely. Let's go right now.
Cockney King's Fish and Chips, Kitsilano. On Cornwall Avenue, between Cypress and Walnut. It's the best fish and chips in town, but don't take our word for it. Try it yourself. If Kitsilano isn't your neighborhood, check out Cockney King's in Burnaby or New Westminster.
Are you a writer?
Listener?
Dreamer?
Music nerd?
Want to cover artists?
Visit venues?
Write something?
Events?
Personal essays?
Anything!
Submit to Discorder magazine and then take it a step further on Hail Discordia with your hosts, Zoe
and Izzy. Hail Discordia is an audio translation of Discorder magazine. We interview writers, play music and soundscapes, and do a deep dive of each zine issue. Hail Discordia plays at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the third Thursday of every month on CITR 101.9 FM.
Submit something for the magazine and come onto the show, or just tune in and listen. We promise it's worth it.
you down when you think about it.
All right, and we are back. You've just heard It Gets You Down by the band Overnight. They are a small band from Halifax, made up of the Gillis sisters, who are from the band Plumtree back in the 90s. This album, Carry Me Home, is only available on Bandcamp, and it is incredible, super worth a listen. Go check that out. You're listening to Amateur Hour. This is a show where we sit down with local amateur and student musicians, talk about the music they make and the music they love. We talked about the music that our guest here, Jack Patrick, makes, and now we're going to get on to some of the stuff that we love. So in the same spirit of me bringing this band to the show, Jack has brought a artist that he feels he loves but not enough people listen to, by the name of Charlie Feathers. So before we jump into his music, you want to tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, so Charlie Feathers is a rockabilly musician, and for those of you who don't know what rockabilly music is, it's sort of the early rock and roll music. You know, it's got a little bit more hillbilly in it. It's very much, you know, influenced by blues music. So, you know, it's white people sort of playing the blues, but it's more than that. There's some folk influences, if you listen to it carefully, but it's like electrified hillbilly music, I guess is the best way to put it. And the classic rockabilly setup is sort of upright bass, drums, and then hollow body electric guitar. So, I mean, Elvis is sort of the archetypal rockabilly musician. Yeah. This guy that we're going to listen to, Charlie Feathers, really gotten into recently, and his vocal style is quite an inspiration to me. It's, you know, there's this thing that these kind of hops, these vocal hops that these rockabilly musicians do. Another one I'd recommend listening to is Wanda Jackson. She also does this. She's got some amazing songs, and it's this leap up into like a falsetto almost, but yeah, you'll hear it. It's harder to describe in words than just to hear the sound. But yeah, definitely have been influenced by this music, and it's quite nice.
Well, on that, we're going to start off with That Certain Female and transition then into Can't Hardly Stand It, both by Charlie Feathers. Have a listen.
With a lot on my mind, and I'm looking for me a woman, but she's mighty hard to find. Lord, it's my country cousin, check the hottest spots in town. Oh, that little bitty woman, well, she just ain't around. This little bitty woman, how much you'll never know. If you mark it right, well, leave the price and make it fast. We didn't put you long. I got that woman on my mind. I'm gonna bring her home. Look here, check it high and low. Don't wanna miss a spot. Keep it on the go.
Right, and we are back. That was Charlie Feathers, Can't Hardly Stand It. And before that, That Certain Female. Jack, tell us about Charlie Feathers. How'd you find him?
Yes, so there's that last song there. There's a famous cover of it by The Cramps.
Mm.
And just, you know, listening to that like, kind of punk style that I've gotten into, like because a lot of the early Goat String Orchestra gigs were with punk bands, actually.
Sure.
Like, we never really fit the bill, but punk bands are always very welcoming. And so
yeah.
I got really into the moshing and enjoying the music. And The Cramps is sort of like a slightly like country western punk type thing. I don't know how to describe them exactly. But yeah, I was like, oh, this song is great. And then I found out it was a cover. And it's like, oh, well, who's the guy that covered?
Yeah.
And then I found this guy, and yeah, he's just amazing. His vocal style, the tunes, just yeah, really, really enjoyed it. And I started incorporating the vocal style and got a little bit more into rockabilly from him. Found out about Wanda Jackson, a few other rockabilly artists, but those two are the main ones that I listen to. And yeah, I don't think he was ever that big. I mean, we were just talking about it, you know, like in like Elvis was the main rockabilly
kind
guy.
Kind of overshadowing.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, but yeah, definitely a great, great vocalist, guitar player, show person. I mean, the vocal thing that he does, the yips.
Yeah, the little barks.
Yeah, I really enjoy those. So yeah, that's how I found out about Charlie Feathers.
Yeah, no, I mean, It's great stuff. And yeah, we're kind of talking about, yeah, like the fact that you mentioned like he'd done some TV appearances and stuff as well. So he wasn't necessarily like an unknown figure when he was playing. And obviously, you know, his music ended up getting covered by artists who would go on to be a little bit bigger. But yeah, just kind of with rockabilly being a genre that Elvis kind of had such a like hold on, it's kind of hard to like live up to that, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I think people, I don't know, they think of it as sort of an older genre that doesn't have much sway, but it, you know, it was very much like a bridge between the blues music that was being played and rock and roll.
Yeah.
For me anyways, like what I've felt as I've played more shows, I really enjoy more intense music.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy when people are moshing. Part of like my searching for other musical styles is like, how can I increase the intensity on what I'm writing so that it, because there's some Goat String songs that are, you know, a little faster and people get a little rowdier with them, but I love the intensity of the moshes with the punk bands. I mean, people just, their whole energy, and you know, people are sweating and moving.
Yeah.
And you know, I think rockabilly also has this offshoot called psychobilly, which is kind of upping the punk element of rockabilly. Mm-hmm. There's a great, great artist, the Reverend Horton Heat. He's an excellent, I guess you could call him rockabilly, psychobilly musician. Just very intense punk vibes, but with that sort of country western feel. Also in this, you know, classic rockabilly trio setup where he's got the hollow body guitar, upright bass, and it's. It's a whole showmanship thing too. Like you watch some videos of these guys, and they do some really fun things. Like the upright bass player will put the bass down on the ground and play it on the ground, and then the guitar player jumps up onto the bass, and he's playing on there. You know, there's it's just really fun stuff.
Yeah, as we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, is like the visual element of music, especially with stuff like metal we were talking about last week, but also with this kind of music, the way that like live music has such a different energy, not just because you're in the room where the music's being played, but because you can see it and like how it's like this full body activity. And that definitely seems to be the case with this kind of music as well. You mentioned psychobilly music. It's interesting. Like, have you dipped your toe into making any of that yourself?
Well, I'm starting a little trio. I'll probably be leaving Vancouver in the summer, so this is just sort of testing the waters.
Sure.
And it's going to be that kind of music. It's going to be like intense, kind of rockabilly-esque music with that classic upright bass, drums, hollow body guitar setup. And, you know, it's just me seeing, you know, how this works because, you know, the orchestra thing, the Goat String Orchestra, having tons of musicians, it's like we were talking about. It's great for just that maximalist energy.
Yeah.
But it is harder to, like, really dig into the tunes and form a really tight connection.
Sure.
I'm kind of exploring the possibility of a trio for what I do with music in the future. And it'll be like that. There might be a show on the 9th of April in a backyard.
Cool.
So just to test out the trio.
Yeah. Do we have a name for this trio that people can keep an eye out for?
Yeller Jack. Yeller Jack, like, you know, the way an old time person says yellow. Yeller.
Yeah, sure. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Before we round out our show here, because we're getting close towards the end, I wanted to talk a little bit more about you and music in your life, and how that kind of how it works in, because a lot of the people we talk to on the show aren't people who are, you know, professional musicians. This isn't their only thing. A lot of them are in school, a lot of them have 9-to-5s, so I wanted to see, like, how does music factor into your life? Like, where do you make time for it? What do you see yourself doing in the future music wise all that?
Yeah, I mean, this is a big tension in my life, as it is, I'm sure, for a lot of musicians, where you know, you understand that music isn't exactly a stable career path. So I actually don't think I have like one coherent answer to this question, because I have goals in mind for my life in terms of, you know, studying and career-wise and stuff. But, you know, I sacrifice them a lot for music too.
Sure.
It's definitely something that I could see myself doing as a full-time thing. But it's just kind of a fork in the road for me, you know. I'm not exactly sure. I think it takes a lot of courage or stupidity.
Yeah.
Or,
a good,
you know,
mix of both.
Or, you know, I was talking to somebody today, and maybe, you know, just whatever this creative expression you're doing, it's the only thing that you feel like you can do, the only thing you want to do with your life. I have a bit of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've made the leap to say this is what I need to do.
Sure.
But music has that power. It has a charm over people who fall under the sway, you know, and sometimes it's all you can think about. And I think it's beautiful. I think it's something that will always have a place in my life, whether that's listening, performing. I think I always want a place for music in my life. But yeah, that's my roundabout way of answering your question.
For sure. Well, in our last few minutes here before we play ourselves out, what's the concrete next few weeks, next couple months for you and Goat String Orchestra looking like?
Yeah, so we have two gigs lined up in the next, I'd say, month. So we're playing at Take Your Time Back, formerly known as 648 Kingsway, on April 12th with Ivan and the Tax Evaders. Ivan's a great guy. He used to go to an insane amount of shows. I think he's toned it down a bit, but great guy. April 12th. And then we're playing with 10 Million Mosquitoes, 1 Million Mosquitoes. I can't remember if it's 10 or 1.
A lot of mosquitoes. Either way,
yeah,
prohibitable
on
mosquitoes.
On May 1st at Redgate. It's going to be a great show. I think Ophelia and LaFay are also playing for that. So those are the two next shows you can check out the Goat String Orchestra at.
Sure. And can you remind us when we might be hearing new music from you guys?
Yeah, I'm thinking April 12th, so the same day as that 648 gig. Yeah, and that should be announced on social media platforms. So if you'd like to follow us at Goat String Orchestra, feel free.
All right. Well, keep an eye out for those shows. Keep an eye out for Yellerjack, should that manifest as well. And keep listening to great tunes. This has been Amateur Hour. I've been Ewan. This has been Jack Patrick of Goat String Orchestra. We're going to leave you with one more song from the great Camille Leon. And then you are going to return to your regularly scheduled program. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.
Thanks, Ewan.